Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays from this time until the top of the hour, 7:30 to 8, it's Brother Johnny today from Houston, Texas. Johnny, how are you?
We're in great shape down here. We have the Offshore Technology Conference going to crank it up for the oil industry.
65,000 people go through this every single day of this convention. It's largest in the world. Mike Ditka in Chicago. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're great. I just want to recognize, even though he would not mention it himself, Spotlight on Technology. This is essentially where companies are singled out for their innovation, for some great work that they do. I mentioned 65,000 people come through this every day down in Houston. 14 companies are acknowledged for their special work. Johnny has just won his third award. The Claw is what it's called. The Claw is a subsea grappling device used in conjunction with VersaBar's VB10000 heavy lift system. It was developed in response to operator requests to minimize diver exposure during salvage and decommissioning operations, enhancing the project schedule while reducing hazardous exposure has been the Claw's most significant contribution to subsea salvage operations. And on this Monday, after we honored Clint Atkins on Saturday night, and Clint certainly was a part of this Claw, Johnny.
Oh, Clint, it wouldn't have happened without Clint. So, yeah, give him credit for that. He really backed it, and he said, let's do it. But worked out great, and we're happy to get that.
Mike, it's a 12-story claw that you'd see in a vending machine that grabs the bears up from the glass and drops it into the door. You're supposed to grab a bear with it. He's grabbing, you know, thousands of tons with this thing. It's unbelievable what Johnny's doing, Mike.
Yeah, John tried to show me one time and explained to me what VersaBar and all this stuff was, and I got a pretty good idea, but it's phenomenal when you think about it. To create or construct something like that, it can take the human element out of it where there's not a risk of injury and be able to do the work that it does is unbelievable.
Well, it's a pretty simple device. It does cost more than a quarter, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, a little bigger than that claw on the machine.
Yeah,
as well.
It weighs 1,100 tons, 2 million pounds.
Unbelievable.
Just the weight of the claw.
Unbelievable. It's just a phenomenal deal. Folks, if you just go online, you can go to and Google Offshore Technology Conference Spotlight on Technology, and you'll see this picture. And it's I'm just extraordinarily proud of my brother Johnny, the Thomas Edison of oil and gas. All right, let's get right to it. What's wrong with Albert Pujols, Mike?
Oh, I don't really know what's wrong with him. I mean, I don't have a lot of sympathy. But then again, I know there's no loyalty in sports. You know, I kind of like him as a Cardinal. Don't care about him at all as an Angel. So, you know, I maybe that's wrong, but that's me. I mean, when he was a Cardinal, because I grew up a Cardinal fan and I liked the Cardinals, and I thought he was a pretty good guy. When it's all about money, I think, you know, there are a lot of problems. I think the expectations right now are so high for him. I think he's trying too hard, for one thing.
Well, don't you think, too, Mike, of course, he's been one of the best players in baseball. But last year, he was showing signs of getting towards the end of his career. He missed a few games. The World Series, Mr. Clutch, but he had three home runs in one game, Steve. But yep. They didn't really need him. The rest of that series, he's 1-for-32 the rest of the game. Now he had a good shot. The one was a big one. But I don't know about $250 million, I'll tell you.
Wow.
I thought the Cardinals think they should have paid for that kind of money, huh, Mike?
Well, the Angels have 7 wins. I mean, the Cardinals are in first place. I mean, that's the difference. I tried to say when it happened, baseball is not a one-man game. I mean, yeah, you know, you've got to have good individuals. There's no question about that. But it really is how well everybody does together. You've got to have good pitching. You've got to have good hitting. You've got to have good fielding. And you've got to have good managing. So, you know, you put all the into the equation. I don't know what the problem is out in Los Angeles is. Maybe it'll turn around. I don't know, but I just think it's way too much money to pay one guy in a sport that has 9 players on the team.
Yeah, it's a bunch of money. And Johnny, in about let alone this year, what happens in 7 years when he's still making $25-30 million a year and he can't hit at all?
Well, and I don't know. Maybe he'll do a lot better than it looks like he may do, yeah. Because he may be in a little bit of a slump. But and the other thing too, Mike makes a point about 9 guys. But maybe those other nine guys wouldn't mind a little bit more money, and he's getting $30 million a year.
Well, it's amazing to me. David Fries, the National League MVP, the World Series MVP, David Fries makes $550,000 a year. And so
but there's going to come a time when he's going to do the same thing. You know, so they're going to leave where money is, and Pujols happened to be. You know, I mean, I just don't understand. I'm sorry, but I don't blame him, because if somebody says here's $250 million, what are you going to say? I don't want it. I want to stay in St. Louis. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, but Mike,
I understand it.
He was offered 5 years and $150 million, and his wife went on radio and said, "We just can't believe all Albert did for the community. That's what they offered. $150 million for 5 years?
That's not that bad."
Those are not very smart people. Let's face it. I mean, it's that simple. They're not very smart people. $150 million for 5 years, huh?
Maybe it was six. Maybe it was $150 million, and what was going to change his life in any way? $250 million or $150 million? He's probably good either way.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it's what you want.
That's greed right there.
But yeah. I guess it's what you want. If you want the money, he's smart. But I don't know if that's really what's going to make him happy. I think he wants to play good baseball.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, let's switch over to Derrick Rose and the Bulls. Is it an indication that the guy should have been out of the game up 10 with a minute to go, or is it an indication that the seasons are too long in the NBA and these guys are wearing out?
Well, probably both. I mean, both. I mean, I'm sure he shouldn't have been in the game. If they had it to do over again, they wouldn't have him in the game. But, you know, I think that injury, if it wouldn't happen when it happened, it would happen next week or the next game. Or, you know, that thing was an accident waiting to happen.
They've had a few other guys. I think it's the season. I've always thought the NBA season was too long. I think 60 games is more what you can play good basketball for. Steve, you see in January and February, they're kind of a little bit on cruise control.
Yeah.
And that's not because they're loafing. They can't do it. Their 82 regular season games isn't humanly possible. That's 15 games a month. They were up to 17 games a month. I think the NBA found in. You know, when I was in school at Illinois, Mike, one formula that even Dan Sweet, my business development guy, knows, because I talk about it, N cycles to failure. N is just the unknown. N cycles to failure for material strength. You can work out, you can hurt to play, but make it through. But there's a point where just the material of the human body, some do better than others, but there's a limit to what the material of the human body can take. And I think they're pushing the limit past there's only so much you can take. And you're 100% right, too, Mike. The way he planted was a pretty normal plant for Derrick Rose. That knee didn't have any more material strength left. And too many games, you know, and I'm not comparing animals to humans other than they're biological, but you would never treat a racehorse like this. Not a $10 million racehorse.
Yeah.
Look, the horse has an advantage. It doesn't have an agent to say, give us $5 million, we'll give it a shot.
Well, so you got to understand why there's more games. You understand why there is. I know
they're trying to make more money.
No, well, because they have to make more money because they have to pay higher salaries.
Mm.
That's why they're trying to get it to where they're making money in the organization. So, I mean, that's what it comes down to. But are you right? Yeah, it's right. I mean, why do you think the football season went to a longer season?
Yeah.
Same reason.
All right, 744. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3. It's Connect FM at 744. Okay.
I got to go back to that because the owners of these businesses have to protect their assets, which are the guys. They're the top physical human specimens in the history of humanity. And if they can't keep them a little more healthy, they got to look at what they're doing. And it's their responsibility. They need to try to contain the agents who are driving these prices up, that are forcing these things. Because the guys will play for less money. Holy cow. Come on. They're
what else are they
going to
do? What are they going to become? They're going to become rocket scientists? What are they going to do? They're going to be civil engineers? They're going to be oceanographer? I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Come on, wake up.
Okay.
I got to protect them, and I think that's on the owners, so they got to look at that. There's too many games. That's 17 games a month in the NBA. Hey, can you imagine? That's more than one every 2 days.
Yeah, you can't play hard very often. You just can't do it. All right, quarter till 8. I want to switch to politics. Wall Street Journal opinion page. I discussed this earlier in the half hour before we had you guys up. And it's a piece essentially talking about if you give money to Mitt Romney, the Obama campaign will not only list your name, proper disclosure, but they'll write something about you. He made money in oil and gas. He made money closing businesses, essentially degrading your name with your donation and thus the intimidation factor. That's not right, is it?
Well,
no, it's not right, is it all? But I wish somebody would contact me. If I'd write a check.
I'm thinking I wasn't thinking of donating, but now I'm with Mike. I might be in.
I'd write a check. I hadn't thought too much about that. but now that they mentioned it, hell, I'd write a check, and they can write anything they want to about me, and only because it's my choice. And the last time I looked, this is a nation that was built on choices, and you had a right to choose whatever you wanted to choose, as long as you weren't breaking the law. And my choice would simply be anybody at all, except the one there.
I think that I think it's more just bad strategy than anything else. I think America's got some issues, Steve, but we're not to that point where it's just a bunch of whining, blaming, pointing, and we're in a majority of people like that. I don't think it's there yet. And I think this approach of attack and it's even worse if, I'm not any good, but I'm better than the next guy. I just don't think that's going
to
sell.
Well, listen to the Obama campaign ad. It talks about Osama bin Laden. This is directly against what the president had said during his campaign with Hillary Clinton when he suggested this should not be a campaign issue. Listen to this.
There was the victory no one saw coming.
As an NBC News special report.
This is CNN breaking news.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda,
go, 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 go.
And a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children.
This is truly one of those moments people will remember where they were when they heard Osama bin Laden is dead.
And now, the war in Iraq is over.
For nearly 9 years, our nation has been at war in Iraq. So as your commander-in-chief, and on behalf of a grateful nation, I'm proud to finally say these two words, welcome home.
Okay, that's the president campaign ad. Should Osama bin Laden's death be a campaign issue, Johnny?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's one thing he can point to that good that happened in the last 4 years. So I think that I'd give Leon Panetta credit for pulling that off with Obama as president, because I've expected him to stop that, but he didn't stop it, and that operation was a success. I don't know what else he can point to, Mike. I don't know what else he has to look at.
But, John, when was it put in motion?
Yeah, back with George W. Bush, he won't give him credit.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Well, you know, this guy in the White House says, "Well, I inherited this. I inherited this economy. I inherited this. I mean, he also inherited that situation where he was also well in the progress of what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. Actually, the covert operation was set up under the Bush administration. But you can take all the credit you want to. You can blame whoever you want to. You can do anything you want to. But eventually, people who have any intelligence will see through it. Now, if you don't want to see through it, then you won't. You can put your blinders on. You can turn your head away from it and say, oh, this guy did a great thing. He didn't do anything. He did nothing at all. Absolutely nothing.
And he did mention when he campaigned with Hillary Clinton that shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
And I think it's just another example of really the character that in my opinion, I see we've got as president. That's what I want. If I'm voting for somebody else, I think we need as much integrity as we can get in that position. That's very important. Well, I'd like to try somebody else. Thank you very much, Mr. President. Let's try someone else.
Character or lack of character, John.
Well, so.
Now the White House Correspondents' Dinner yielded this on Saturday night.
I know at this point many of you are expecting me to go after my likely opponent, Newt Gingrich. Newt, there's still time, man.
If this had happened on President Clinton's watch, you can damn well bet those Secret Service agents would have been disciplined with a very serious high five.
I really do enjoy attending these dinners.
In fact, I had a lot more material prepared, but I have to get the Secret Service home in time for their new curfew.
Mr. President, you remember, when the country rallied around you in hopes of a better tomorrow? That was hilarious.
We got men in tuxes, women in gowns, fine wine, first-class entertainment. I was just relieved to learn this was not a GSA conference.
Governor Christie, I think you might be misunderstanding New Jersey's slogan. It's not the Olive Garden State.
I have not seen the Hunger Games. Not enough class warfare for me.
There's a term for guys like President Obama. Probably not two terms, but...
All right, there you have it, Jimmy Kimmel and the president. It is fun to hear them laugh at least at each other, John.
Yeah, I do. I like that. I think that's healthy.
Yeah, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
That's for sure.
So that's what you got. All right, Mike, your golf is how? How was your golf game?
Well, I can play. I mean, I played. We finally quit yesterday. It was ridiculous. But, I played. I can hit it. I don't hit it with any distance anymore, but I'm playing it up and down once in a while. And I mean, on the 1-9, I shot 42 yesterday, and it was terrible. But our greens are so daggone fast. I mean, you could not, you know, you hit a 3-foot putt, but it'll go 10 feet fast.
Oh, man.
So it's one of those deals. So, but I'm okay. I don't care as long as I play. I'm not worried about what I score right now. I just want to play.
Johnny played at Champions in Houston yesterday. That's a beautiful course, isn't
Boy,
it?
That's a great golf course. I played it, yeah.
Didn't you see Elkington and Jackie Burke was around? I mean,
Jackie Burke was there, yeah.
Oh, he won.
I almost hit a hole in one.
What?
And I mean, I was playing terrible. But you know how that game is, Mike? You get one shot, and it was, I mean, I don't think it missed it by 6 inches.
Oh, wow. Did you make two?
Oh, yeah, well, you know what? They gave it to me. You never pick up a birdie, but I did. I said, I'm taking it. It was like 2 feet. I don't think I'd have missed it.
What a nice shot. How about that? That's so fun. Well, Illinois just won their fourth straight Big Ten golf championship. Luke Guthrie has just won his second individual title. I mean, the Illini with Mike Small are doing it again. Four straight Big Ten titles. French
that's
Lickerton.
Pretty good. Now.
Oh man,
that's amazing. That's fantastic.
But just they play 72 holes, right? Indiana is winning by three shots with two holes to play, right? Their number one golfer gets a triple, and then the golfer Mason Jacobs gets an eagle on the last hole. Come on, are you kidding me?
That's pretty good, boys. That's great. Well, you look at Indiana and Illinois. And you look at where they're getting their kids from, and you look at your Hawaii's and Florida and some of these other teams, you think they'd win the golf championship every year.
Yeah. It's
and Texas and California, I mean, where the weather's good all year round, where they can play all year. So it's
well,
pretty,
I remember
for Illinois to do that.
That's amazing.
And, well, and Mike put up a nice indoor facility. It obviously has made a difference because you can't play as much outside as we can down here in the South.
I tell you, Johnny, Nathaniel, my son, who's at Lamar and Beaumont, I don't know if he'll ever move to the North again because he loves the South, and you got to play golf all the time. He loves that. He just loves
it every day, about every single day.
It's great to have that. And by the way, don't we have a golf round with Mike Small in the queue there, Johnny? Maybe not. I don't know. We have that Bruce Weber dinner we're still supposed to get. So
well, we got to get one in with Mike Ditka.
Yeah, we do.
I told you guys when you want to come up, you let me know when you come up and we'll have dinner.
We have the auction that the eight guys we're going to do that when you're coming up here in just a few days, Johnny. We're going to book.
Yeah, we got to get that worked out with my secretary. I'd love to have him come up and we'll have a nice dinner and talk and whatever.
And by the way, before I let you go, the other day we had a bunch of kids over that had never been to the house, and I put in kicking and screaming in the theater. And Mike, I drool over this. I just think your performance of that thing was crazy good. It really, really was. It truly was.
It must have been great because I haven't had a call back.
Well, you should get a call back. That's one of the greatest family movies, folks. Kicking and Screaming. Mike Ditka is one of the leads with Robert Duvall and Will Ferrell.
Actually, Mary did tell me that there was an offer to do a movie where I was going to be a coach, and she said it would entail 6 weeks or something. I said, not for the money they're offering. So I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, you always told me, you used to call me from the set, and you said it's a lot of hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait. Well, it is, yeah. And, I mean, you can understand them. They're trying to get it right all the time, and that's their business. I mean, they're their livelihood depends on them getting it right. So, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, Stevie, that could, that gives me an idea for a project to work on. Kicking and Screaming 2.
There you go. Mike Ditka returns. Well, listen, Mike, I appreciate always your time. Johnny, congratulations on another award at the Offshore Technology Conference. We're proud of you, and it's awesome.
Well, thanks, Stevie J. Great talk to you. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Talk to you soon. Thanks so much. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, God bless you, too. Always a pleasure Mondays and Fridays to get together and talk about everything as we do Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8 here on the radio and podcast later today at myconnectfm.com. All right, it's 5 till 93.5.